From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Later tonight, is humanity in danger because of science and technology? Transevolution with Daniel Estulin. But here's what's happening. Homeland Security plans to X-ray all food and drinks at the Super Bowl. They call it a precaution. The U.S. Customs and Border Protection agents also will work around the clock to X-ray every delivery truck and any other vehicle authorized to enter the MetLife Stadium complex for anything suspicious. Throughout Super Bowl week, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security will use HCV mobile scanning trucks to examine the vehicles. Let's check in with Craig Hewlett. He's an expert on these matters. Craig, it's wise to be vigilant, I guess. Your take?
Well, there's no question they're going to be vigilant. One of the curious coincidences here for me, George, is the people that work ATF and the Fusion Center and Homeland Security are people that I've known personally for over two decades. And I can tell you, these guys on the law enforcement side, they're very effective. I don't believe anything's going to happen in the Super Bowl. I believe these guys have got an absolute grip on it. But that's because I've known them personally for almost 30 years in several of the cases. So I think they've got a really good handle on it. It is going to be an oppressive regime, though, I have to tell you.
Well, there's no question about that, Craig. Are we at that point where some of this is absolutely necessary?
I don't think it's absolutely necessary. And as you've already pointed out on your show, the NSA surveillance has accomplished nothing to correct terrorism, catch terrorists. They've achieved nothing but put the American people under surveillance. They'll be caught. If there's any kind of terrorism activity whatsoever, it will be caught by standard law enforcement practices, as oppressive as they're going to get, but they will catch them. They have caught a number of people. It just doesn't make the press when they catch them.
That's a good point. Craig, thanks. We'll keep our eyes on all of this. Super Bowl right around the corner now. Boy, the South, they're getting blasted with frigid weather. Cars stuck in ditches beside icy roads. Thousands of children stranded at schools that parents can't reach. Drivers camped out at gas stations, no way to get home. My daughter's in Savannah, Georgia. She's stuck right now trying to get back to St. Louis. A winter storm slamming into the South. Authorities warning drivers, hey, stay off the roads. Motorists in major metropolitan areas, including Atlanta, just sit in trapped gridlocks as schools and offices have shut down. 3,100 flights in that southern region also canceled. The Earth's magnetic field is collapsing, and it could affect the climate and wipe out power grids. Now, deep within the planet is a fierce molten core that is generating a magnetic field capable of defending our planet against devastating solar winds. The protective field extends thousands of miles into space, and its magnetism affects everything from global communications to animal migration and weather patterns. But this magnetic field, so important to our life here on Earth, has weakened by 15% now over the last 200 years. And scientists say this could be a sign that the Earth's poles are about to flip. In a moment, David Cereda joins us. He'll tell us what this means, because just to give you a little capsule, it could be devastating, knocking out power grids and radically changing Earth's climate, and they say even driving up cancer rates. Hong Kong has begun culling 20,000 chickens after the H7N9 bird flu virus was found in poultry imported from mainland China. Now, all the chickens at the wholesale market where the positive test took place, they have been destroyed. The government is also banning the import of live chickens from the mainland for 3 weeks. H7N9 made the jump from infecting domestic chickens and ducks to infecting people in the early part of 2013. They say exposure to the synthetic pesticide DDT may increase both the risk and severity of Alzheimer's disease in some individuals, especially those over the age of 60. Now, DDT was introduced to the United States as a pesticide during World War II and was utilized for insect control in crops and livestock, as well as to combat insect-borne diseases such as malaria. But it's turning around to bite us. The ride-sharing company Uber, that's a company that's in a lot of cities, is facing a lawsuit over the death of a child killed by one of its drivers. It is the first case of its kind and will raise questions about how much firms are regulated. A little six-year-old was knocked down in San Francisco while crossing the road with her family, and the family holds Uber responsible because the driver was using the firm's app at the time of the accident. They use these apps to find out who they're going to pick up and to make sure that they have picked somebody up. Pete Seeger, the man considered to be one of the pioneers of contemporary folk music who inspired legions of activists, singers, and songwriters. He died late last night. He was 94 years old, best known for songs including Turn, 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 which you just heard, Where Have All the Flowers Gone, If I Had a Hammer. His influence extended far beyond his own individual hits. Pete Seeger dead at the age of 94. Ford Motor Company made good money for the fourth quarter, $1.3 billion in operating profit, capping what the automaker said was one of the best company years ever. So good that the workers, the union workers, 47,000 of them, will each get a bonus of $8,800. That's part of its deal. It's an amazing deal with the United Auto Workers. Let's check in with Catherine Austin Fitz. This is good news. I like this story.
Yes, it is good news, George. I believe it's the second most profitable year in their history. So Ford has certainly had quite a comeback. You know, I don't know if you remember, but when we were talking in 2008, 2009, their stock was below $2.
Yeah, so I remember that.
They've had quite a ride back. And I'll never forget, because the mayor of Hickory Valley came tearing in. He just bought a new Ford truck, and he said, buy as much stock as you can get. Watch, Ford will come out.
He was right. Are we in a seesaw accordion, Catherine? I had Harry Dent Jr. on last week, and he thinks the stock market's going to plummet again.
Well, here's what happened. The stock market ran, the U.S. stock market ran up enormously last year, and it wasn't just extraordinary payout, both in buybacks and earnings by the companies, but also the price-earnings ratios went up a lot, and a lot more than anybody expected. And what's happened, George, is we've seen tremendous divergence between the price of commodities and the price of U.S. equities. And usually, you know, usually they always come back into convergence. And so if they were to snap back into convergence quickly, commodities would come up a lot and equities would come down. So it's absolutely extreme. However, if you look at what the Fed has been doing with their quantitative easing, you know, there is a very direct correlation, if you map it out, on the expansion of the Fed's balance sheet with the U.S. stock market. So I think, you know, the Fed's pumped a lot of money into the economy, and I think a lot of that's headed on into the stock market. And as the Fed tapers, we'll start to see things come back a little bit more to normal.
What's new with Solari.com?
Well, you know, what we've been telling people is that we've really got two economies side by side, George. One we call Global 2.0, and that's the industrial economy, and the other is Global 3.0, which is a much more network economy. We now have over 1.2 billion people worldwide on smartphones. And what you're watching is an acceleration of economic activity out of one into the other. And if you're in the old economy, everybody's saying, oh, my God, it's horrible, it's going to collapse. And, you know, this just, you know, everything's terrible. If you're over in the new economy, you're saying, oh, it's, you know, it's going gangbusters. So, you know, there's a tremendous change underway because we've never had one consumer market that was 1.2 billion consumers. I mean, that's enormous. Have you ever had Michael Ventura on Coast to Coast?
I don't think so. I don't remember.
Okay, Michael Ventura said, he described it as the psychic storm. He described L.A. once as we're standing in the psychic storm of our own being. Well, we've now got 1.2 billion people in our psychic storm. So we think there's change underway. And, you know, the guys on one side think it's terrible. The guys on the other side think it's horrible. I just think we need to make sure the transition is smooth.
Thanks, Catherine. Appreciate it. So if you go to Starbucks, you might know the name of this company, Bodrum USA. Bodrum USA, they're recalling 28,000 coffee presses that they sell exclusively at Starbucks due to the potential risk of lacerations and burns. The U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission said that the carafe in the Bodum's rose gold glass coffee presses can fall out of the base and break or shatter. So that's a little news you can use. Okay, so we're talking about the Earth's magnetic field. Scientists are saying it is collapsing. This does happen, but we're very technological. We rely on a lot of things. So they say that this flip of the magnetic poles could weaken the shield and cause all kinds of problems. In a moment, David Cereda joins us. We'll check in with what he thinks on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. Will the Earth's magnetic poles flip? Scientists say yes. David Cereda, space scientist, physicist, spiritual explorer as well. Just when I thought it was okay to come out of the house, David, now we have this. What does it all mean to us?
Well, we go back to NASA, a Canadian scientist working for NASA, Larry Newitt, who suddenly noticed that in the 20th century, magnetic north was migrating about 10 miles a year, and it suddenly speeds up to about 25 miles a year migration at that time. And that was, you know, coming into 2010, 2011 that we last talked about it. And I wrote Larry Newitt at NASA and you know, Canadian scientists working for NASA and doing the reporting. And he said it was even worse than that. It had gone up to, at times, it was moving 50 miles a year. And then nothing. Then, you know, we saw the news about how the pilots had to readjust, you know, and not use their magnetic compasses anymore. That, you know, birds and dolphins and a lot of marine animals, mammals, are relying on a natural compass built into their physiology, and they were being misdirected because of the changes. And now there's a report of independent researchers with their own navigational tools that are very accurate that are saying it has migrated 160 kilometers just in the past year.
That's fast, David.
Which is staggering. And what alarms me about that is, first, you know, looking in a lab situation, I can see, like, the Earth is a physical magnet. And recently it was measured that its magnetic field strength is 25 Gauss at the core, which is not really that strong compared to, like, a neodymium magnet, which would be in the thousands of Gauss at the surface. But nevertheless, when a magnetic field moves over a magnet, it determines the magnet position. So if the Earth is a physical magnet and the magnetic field is moving that fast, the physical magnet starts to stress in that movement. And what happens is you're going to get creaking and screeching sounds, which have been suddenly reported all over the world starting in 2012. And for a period there, it seemed like, oh my God, I mean, there is a physical movement that's imminent that's going to be devastating. And one night, I really wanted to know the answer to this stuff. I started pulsing my body with some time travel frequencies, actually.
Why?
And because I wanted to go back in time or forward in time and find out what was going to happen. And, you know, this is a technique not unlike remote viewing. I'm using a pulse magnet to use certain frequencies that I won't name that actually induce time travel experiences. And so that night, I mean, this is actually what happened, and this happened after our last show on this some time back. What had happened is I was hovering above the city of Vancouver, Canada. I was living in Sedona, Arizona at the time, and I was shown in Greco-Roman temples in North Vancouver, for those people who know that area, that they pre-existed what we now call the First Nations people in Canada. And that there was a radical pole shift thousands of years ago, over 10,000 years ago.
And that's very natural, though, David, isn't it?
And it's very natural. And then what happens is they show me present day. I see these angels whose heads are bigger than mountains in the clouds. And they all go racing to the north-northwest, and they say, look, something is about to happen. And this is coming into 2012. I mean, this is 2012 when this experience happened. And what had happened is the angels showed me we have to soften the blow. Within days of that experience, I posted it on Facebook. Canada announced in eastern Canada they found Greco-Roman temples in Newfoundland that predated the First Nations people. So I got proof of that in the experience. And then there was this 7.7 huge earthquake in the north-northwest of Vancouver, which is Masset, British Columbia, near Prince Rupert. So I said, wow, these angels were showing me that they were personally getting involved in smoothing out this radical movement that the Earth magnet wanted to do to catch up to the magnetic fields movement. So now you suddenly have this huge, huge weather, just the polar vortex. You see, the Earth's magnetic field, just look up and down straight at the Earth. You have north and south, which is actually the reverse of that in the magnetic field. You have a south magnetic field at the top and a north magnetic field at the bottom. And the lines of magnetic field force are just kind of flowing in and out of the poles, you know, towards each other. A positive magnetic field is expansion. The negative magnetic field is contraction. The weather patterns on the planet move 90 degrees away from that, which is the way the Earth is spinning on the axis, which is where most of the electrons in the gas envelope and the actual electromagnetic signal that rides just over the crust of the Earth that Nikola Tesla measured at 7.83 hertz.
Is that why these extremes, David, are so huge? What's happening now?
You're exactly right. See, what's happened is normally the electric field that is spinning 90 degrees away from the magnetic field is stronger with weather patterns. It is holding the weather patterns in the movement. It's dragging dust particles through the air, which creates winds through three different types of magnetism. You know, iron magnetism. We all know if you have a magnet, it will drag around iron. But actually, a magnet will also drag around non-magnetic material.
That's right.
That is not it's a paramagnetic and diamagnetic material, and that creates winds and wind patterns. So here's what I think has happened. Suddenly, the polar vortex, which spins in that direction, 90 degrees away from the magnetic field, suddenly broke. And earlier this winter, we had this huge amount of cold air mass break out of that pattern. And that means, this is what concerns me, is the magnetic flux lines of the Earth are now stronger than that, and they shouldn't be. And they're pulling those particles and those weather patterns following that in the form of winds southward at an angle. It's almost like there already has been a weather pattern pole shift.
And you don't need a total 100% flip before you see some of these anomalies.
Exactly. You don't need a physical. See, if the planet moved even 1 degree, that would be over 68 miles of physical movement. And 1 degree of movement would utterly devastate the planet. So, of physical movement.
Wow.
But we're seeing for the first time, like in 2012, we saw all the birds dying. We saw a lot of beaching whales. We saw a lot of things happening that suggested that these marine mammals and birds who rely on their navigation system magnetically were thrown off course, and or HARP and chemtrails mm-hmm. might have contributed to some of that. But now you have this 90-degree flip where California, Oregon, you know, Nevada, Arizona are in this severe, severe drought, a drought that is really, really being underestimated how devastating this thing is going to be.
They're talking about rationing, the possibility of water rationing out here, David.
It's beyond that. My mom lives in the Sierra Nevada near Jackson, and she's saying all the trees are being eaten by the pine beetles severely this year, and there's going to be fires. Remember the fire?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
She has to get out of there because she's right in the redwoods in this house, and they're talking about, you know, serious precautions. California grows 70 to 90% of the nation's produce and nuts. And you have all that. And they require 90% of the state's water to grow that food, and they're only getting 16% of their water.
Lake Mead is plummeting. The Colorado River, which feeds a lot of the states in this region, it's sinking. It's going down by 120 feet. It's a disaster.
It's a disaster that I really think the governor of California and Oregon are not really, they're not really understanding.
Well, they better. David, hold on. We're going to come back, talk more with you, and then next hour we'll flip our switch, and you can take a question or two with David Sirita. Welcome back with David Sirita as we talk about the possibility of Earth's magnetic field collapsing, shifting. David, I want to go through some of the things that some scientists say could happen and get your take on that. Mm-hmm. One, they say that the solar winds, without the magnetic field the way it is, could punch holes in the ozone layer. It could damage power grids, affect the weather, increase cancer rates. We'd see incredible auroras all the time. What do you think of those possibilities?
Well, no, those are all very accurate statements. I mean, without the Earth's magnetic field, you know, defending us from highly charged particles in space, you know, you're going to be exposed to even nuclear levels of radiation that would be devastating to DNA and all living things. I mean, the heat that it would cause in living organisms and what it would do to the global water supplies would definitely end a huge portion of life on this planet. I mean, if that happens, and here's what concerns me, that may be imminent. When the magnetic field lines of the Earth, when they're in the middle of a physical reversal of the actual magnetic field that is going to jump from one pole to the other, you start to see those north-south magnetic field lines take over the electric field lines, which are 90 degrees to that. And the 90-degree field, is responsible for moving most of the weather patterns, you know, across the Pacific from, you know, Asia towards Hawaii and towards the United States. And that has stopped right now. Most of the weather patterns are not making it into California and Southern California, the equator, all the way up to even Washington State, I mean, lower Washington State. So there's a huge high-pressure ridge there. And, you know, one of my theories was that with all the nuclear radiation in the Pacific that is imminently arriving, and it's agreed that it's arriving and it's actually, people are going out on beaches near San Francisco, and they're checking with their meters, and they're getting 500 counts a minute in the sand on the beaches in San Francisco, and that's steady, you know, 300 to 500 counts a minute. That is not cosmic microwave background radiation. That's not cosmic rays. That type of radiation might be 20 counts a minute, you know, 15 counts a minute. You know, I've been testing radiation like that for over 20 years, and on NPR, they were flat-out lying to people saying that the radiation on the beaches in the redwoods in California was background radiation. Those are nowhere near background levels. I worked with the original Manhattan Project scientists like John Goffman at Berkeley, who was the only scientist who did a complete human health study on ionizing radiation. And I learned from him directly before he passed away. And they are flat out lying. So here's what happens. When you have all those nuclear particles in the water, they are hot. Gamma radiation is higher in temperature than cell phone microwave radiation, for example. So it's boiling the seawater on a tiny scale, but that tiny scale is enough to produce a type of heat that is devastating to plankton, it's devastating to krill, it's devastating to the base of the seafood chain, but even worse, that little bit of heat is going to create high pressure, enough so that may be what's blocking the weather patterns from coming in. So I looked at that theory. But then you also have to look at, according to Time magazine, you've got 6 billion cell phone users in the world right now. And you've got microwave towers stationed virtually everywhere across, you know, continents, across the Atlantic and the Pacific. And so those signals are very, very powerful. They're not as weak as people would like to think they are. And they definitely have the ability to disrupt weather patterns. Microwaves do.
Now, when they talk about a flip, explain the flip. I mean, what, you know, some people think we're going to get thrown topsy-turvy. What's the flip?
Well, during a flip, I mean, even not during a flip, you get these little vortices that spin and can cause false compass readings in certain areas. So you might be sitting there looking at your compass, and you're going, oh, my God, my compass is going crazy. It says, you know, magnetic north is way over here. but then somebody else measures it, you know, the next state over, and they're not getting the same readings. And that means you have a vortex. And those vortices can give rise, firstly, definitely, to paranormal events. I believe in the Sedona area, you have all these vortexes that they talk about in Sedona that the Anasazi painted on the rocks. And when electrons start to whirl like a tornado, they have the ability to physically teleport things, to physically move people, I believe. And the story that the Anasazi left their clothes in their dwellings, and their shoes and clothes were all folded. They just suddenly disappeared. There's no skeletal remains. I believe they jumped into another dimension. So there are stories right now over America. There's a police officer who spent the rest of his career wondering and trying to explain how groups of people in American state parks were vanishing, like within seconds. Witnesses who were with them turned their back and turned again, and they were gone. Now, with increasing volcanic activity, and I believe it's increasing, it does depend on who you talk to. In my lifetime, I've never seen so many volcanoes going off. That's another sign that these vortices start to form, and what do? When electrons spin in a material, they produce heat, and then you get magma, and you get lava heating up, and then you get movement, and you get eruptions. So that's one of the historical signs that a physical magnetic flip is imminent. So you have a lot of different factors, and you have a lot of different phenomena, including when plates rub together in the grinding of the physical movement of the Earth's magnet, which drags the crust with it, you're going to get earthquakes, you're going to get swarms, some of them small, in places that you wouldn't normally see them. And then you're going to get pyroelectric and luminous ball lightning and a lot of phenomenal of sound, like all these sounds that people have been hearing, I believe, are from the grinding of the plates.
I think you may be right. As a matter of fact, Linda Moulton, I was going to be with us on Thursday covering those sounds again, too. So I'm going to bring
that up. They're up again. The sounds are being reported again. And that all started. You see, look at the timing. Larry Newitt, the Canadian scientist, suddenly recognized that the Earth's magnetic north pole is drifting way faster than it did in the 20th century. In the 21st century, it's suddenly going 40 kilometers a year, and then it got to 50 last time I talked to him. And now we have this guy in England on YouTube who's measuring 160 miles or kilometers of migration just from 2012 to 2013. So we don't even know where we currently are, and NASA isn't telling us where we currently are, so they're not even following it. I can't find it anywhere on their website. And now you have the polar vortex phenomena this year, and you have the radical, radical cold air mass moving so far south in the last couple of days, and that's what concerns me. That means the magnetic field lines have crossed. The magnetic field lines are north-south, and then you have 90 degrees away from that, you have the spinning charged particles and air mass moving in that direction. And the fact that the polar vortex is consistently naturally spinning 90 degrees from the magnetic field of the Earth, and now it's not. Now it wants to go where the magnetic field of the Earth is going, which drags it further south. That's an early, early sign to me of probably magnetic fields pulling it in the direction that you're going to see an actual magnetic flip. But that doesn't mean it's soon. That doesn't mean a full flip. I've even seen NASA scientists recently admitting that we might see a mini ice age within the next 40 years.
Or if we could be in one now.
But we could be in one now. I mean, look at these temperatures. I mean, friends of mine in Eastern Canada, minus 70 with wind chill. It's unheard of in my lifetime to see temperatures in those places that low. And then you also look at what's happening in California. And I grew up in California my whole life. I've never seen, and my mother and my family has never seen, a drought in that magnitude. So what are we going to do? Where is it going next? I mean, this is where, when I look at, one thing most scientists don't do is they don't include consciousness. They don't include dreams. they don't include visions. But in most Native American tribes, most spiritual civilizations, even the Tibetan Buddhist, the Dalai Lama uses an oracle to go into a trance and tell him in his out-of-body state what is actually going to happen. You know, are there things that we need to prepare for? Are there... So they use consciousness as well as what you can actually observe. But in my opinion, science is limited to its ability to detect using different means of detection, using devices. For example, when you're detecting magnetic fields, most magnetic field detectors are ferromagnetic detectors. They only detect changes in permanent magnetic fields, meaning like if you have a permanent magnet. They actually have a permanent magnet in the sensor. And will they detect paramagnetic and diamagnetic changes? Probably not. So science, it kind of is very arrogant. It thinks it knows everything, but yet when these things happen, they go, we don't know why it's happening. Well, of course you don't know why it's happening because you don't know everything, but you act like you know everything, but you really don't. And today, scientists are saying the radiation from Japan is not going to affect human health. But
I don't believe that. Do you?
I don't believe it either. I knew John Goffman very well. See, Goffman did this immense study to find out what are the levels where cancer becomes imminent with nuclear radiation, and he delivers his report to Glenn Seaborg, who chaired the Atomic Energy Commission under Kennedy, Johnson, and Nixon. And Seaborg worked with him in nuclear fusion before he died. And I asked him amazing questions. And Seaborg, when he looked at Goffman's report, Goffman said, if we ever get to 60 counts a minute, we're in trouble. We're going to see increased cancers galore in America. And Seaborg said, well, we can't accept those levels, Dr. Goffman. Those are too low. We need higher levels. And so Goffman said, well, actually, cancer starts before 60 counts. Now, that's low. 60 counts seems low. There are many American cities that pass 60 counts on a monthly basis who have nuclear power plants, in their vicinity. So, but with Japan, we're seeing 500 counts in the sand in San Francisco beaches, and the state of California says, well, don't let your kids eat it. Don't let them eat the sand at the beach. But don't worry, those aren't harmful levels. See, you see what they do? We pay these people to lie so that you can feel okay, but meanwhile, you actually are in danger. Now, what they're also not telling you is why all the sea lions dying in California, why all the starfish are dying. They're saying, well, the starfish are dying because the water's warmer. Well, the water's warmer because you've got hot nuclear particles in the water heating it up. Well, they also have signs of radiation damage. You have coho salmon. You have no tuna this year at all. The tuna's radioactive. You have no sardines. No sardines at all. You have plankton dying by the countless numbers of plankton dying this year. So that means no plankton, no little fish for the seals to eat, and then the seals die. And they say, well, we don't know that it's radiation. Well, then you have the waters heating up, and then you have high pressure. But is that causing the polar vortex to suddenly turn south? And see, this is where you look at all the data. You look at the data from every source you can. You never ignore data, and you look at what can that data cause, what can heating the Pacific actually physically cause. Yes, it could cause all of the problems we're seeing in the Pacific, including high-pressure air systems that won't let storms get in. And then you look at the magnetic field situation, and this is where the human element really gets interesting. There was an amazing documentary called Resonance Beings of Frequency where they took...
Didn't hear about that one.
Have you heard about that one?
No, I did not.
It's incredible. It's a whole study on the effects of cell phone radiation, but the part that interests me the most was firstly that Dr. Luc Montagne, this Nobel Prize-winning virologist, proves that your DNA reads frequencies all day long. And in fact, it relies on being able to read the frequency of the Earth itself. And they take a group of high school students in a cave. See, under the Earth's crust, you don't get the Earth's frequency. It rides just above the surface of the Earth, just above the surface of the water. The electrons in the water are moving under the speed of light and in the Earth's crust, but just above that, the signal is the speed of light. So if you divide the circumference of the Earth at the equator into the speed of light, you get about 7.45 hertz. Now, Tesla got 7.83 hertz at Colorado because the distance around the Earth at Colorado is a little bit smaller, so the frequency is a little bit higher. But here's what interested me. They can't find that signal in New York, L.A., or any of the big cities in America anymore. It is gone. And with that, in this film, they found these kids that were sequestered from Earth's resonance got massively depressed. In fact, brutally depressed. And while they were in the cave doing this study with these teenagers, they decided to artificially pulse the frequency of Earth and see if they would recover, and they did. They did.
That's a pretty fascinating study.
It's a fascinating study because it firstly shows that all the epidemic depression in the big cities, because of all the cell phone and the microwave and the electric pollution from the wiring in your house, pulsing your brain at 60 hertz, which is great when you're awake, but you can't sleep in 60 hertz. What happens is you get sleep deprivation. People are not able to go into deep theta when they're sleeping, which is, we dream in theta. We dream at the same frequency as our planet. We dream the frequency of Earth. And you need to dream, you need to rest, to heal, to feel energized the next day.
So is it possible, David, that when the magnetic field shifts, now it's at 15% now, it took 200 years to get there, but as you say, it's moving a little quicker than it did in the past 200 years.
Well, that's the north-south magnetic field line. The actual field strength has collapsed 15%, and you know, it doesn't have to collapse anywhere near.
But does that make more whacked out people mentally?
This is what we're getting to. We're starting to see, the evidence says that if you're a Nobel Prize winner in virology, Luc Montagnier, says your DNA reads frequency, so therefore it needs the frequency of Earth. It actually needs the frequencies of the sun and the nine planets, I found. And because of all the traffic pollution and the declining magnetic field of the Earth, consciousness has to shift. It has to. And the timing of when the magnetic field of the Earth started to radically alter in just before 2010 is when all these riots broke out all over the planet and everybody's overthrowing their government leaders because there's been a magnetic shift that has affected. See, we're magnetic. You could measure the magnetic field of the human heart with a super squid magnetometer. So we're plugged in magnetically and electromagnetically. I don't believe those two forces should ever have been merged in science as the same force, because they're not. They are the same force today, but they clearly exhibit different qualities. So as living organisms, all living things, plants included, humans, mammals, and cellular biology, all responds to frequency. So when the Earth's magnetic field is doing this,
and it is going to do it,
and it's doing it now,
yeah,
we are shifting, and the shifting process is turbulent on the Earth, and it's turbulent psychologically.
Let's talk more about that, David, when we come back, how people are whacked out. I knew there was a reason for that, and we're going to take phone calls, too. Final hour to go. Split show tonight. David Cerita on Coast to Coast AM.